This is what we've been waiting for. The good oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil, Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. Visit penriteoil.com. Tom Harley after 8. Craig Hutchison after 8 to talk us about Death Valley when he nearly got sacked. But right now, it is Nick Riewoldt. If you love your footy, just sit back and enjoy the next hour because we'll get through all the games and all the issues that need to be discussed. Welcome to you, Rui.
Thank you, mate. How was your weekend?
Mine was as good. Marginally better than Tim's, but not much. And yours, you're the one winner amongst the three of us.
Cloud nine, we are.
Essendon and Spion. If that had been a point the other way, they might have been let off the hook to some degree. You watched that one yesterday. Were they the big disappointment of the round?
The Bombers? Yeah.
It was a pretty good field.
Absolutely. It's really tough to pick the most disappointing team. I did the Adelaide game, Adelaide Hawthorn. They were disappointing.
I want to talk to you about that.
They were disappointing.
My spies over there said they were flying. My spies must be blind.
Yeah, but I think the Bombers, I mean, North Melbourne as well, a lot of people had them in their top eight. So you're right, there's a pretty good field. They're on the podium.
What is it? Can you recall any of your round one experiences that would suggest that you've come into a game, you've done 5-6 months of pre-season, you think you're in a good spot and then get slapped in the face. And one of my favourite sayings, I don't know where I heard it, but it's true. It becomes truer every time. Everyone's got a plan till you get punched on the nose.
Mm.
And that's what happens. You go in, you think you're in a good spot, and then you walk away 2 hours later going, nah. Or do you just say, nah, it was one of those days?
Well, the month leading up to round one, we all sit around, don't we? And we guess, really. We try and identify who's had a good preseason, how seriously have they taken the JLT, does JLT form mean anything? And you can find examples for both cases where teams have been rubbish and then they come out and light the world on fire. And it is only a very small sample size. So you're allowed to get off the season poorly and recover. It's absolutely retrievable for those teams. But just looking at the Bombers, their JLT form was terrible, and particularly defensively, and they carried that into round one. And that was the really obvious part of the game yesterday to me. On all of the stats, particularly inside 50s, contested ball I know is a big one, but inside 50s were relatively even. Mm. But the way in which GWS were able to go from one end of the ground to the other with no pressure on them at all and score. No pressure. So the desire to defend, or the mechanism and the structure to defend properly, one of them or both of them were broken yesterday.
Hey, Nick, as an Essendon person, I'm hoping it's this, okay? Ben Rutten comes to the club, and this is what we hear from the outside, okay? He's going to implement a new way of defending, which is the Richmond way of defending, okay? It takes time for the players to actually learn that and then to be able to implement it and for it to become second nature in the way they play. Is that possible that all the other components break down around the players trying to get this defensive part of their game right? And at the moment, there's no semblance that they're doing anything similar to what Richmond did.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely possible. In terms of the structure and taking a little bit of time, that doesn't apply to the effort. But I think when you give great effort and get belief in a system, well, then that fuels your desire to really go to the next level in that sense. But no, I think that is a possibility, and it can be a really good thing early in the season to get a footy audit on your system, on your style.
Yeah.
You stack it up against another team that's just as desperate for 4 points, because not everyone is at the same level throughout the preseason in terms of the emphasis they place on winning. So to get that audit round one, you can now go away and take those learnings. But I would still expect it from an effort point of view to be a pretty thorough and brutal review for the Bombers.
And I did allude to some staggering GPS numbers as we went to the 7 o'clock news. It came up on a message, and Tim, you'd had the similar information.
Yep.
Thankfully, it's not wrong information. Essendon's GPS system broke down because it was, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, this is the first time I'd seen it. The Giants have run 100 more kilometres than Essendon. I was about to launch into the most damning savaging of Essendon
ever. It actually
ever.
Looked like that yesterday.
So how do those GPS numbers that are clearly then wrong, how do they work their way into the public domain? Because if that's – so I know on the AFL app they have the tracker or whatever it is.
Yep.
If it's not right, that can't then work its way into the public domain, because we sit around and look at that and say, well, the Bombers were lazy.
Yeah.
Well, when in fact the machine broke down. So that's not fair on the players.
Actually, you don't need the GPS numbers to tell you, though, what happened yesterday up there in Sydney.
You don't.
They were lazy. They were lazy.
The official ones, which I've just seen, had the Giants as covering the least amount of ground as anyone.
Well, when you're always run more when you're chasing.
No, the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants covered less ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was because they had the footy. And
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly right. Conversation starter for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. We're off and racing with Nick Riewoldt this morning. I'll give you one experience. So I remember it was my first actual game as captain. We went to Western Australia, Melbourne, and played and kicked 2 goals for the game. Got absolutely poleaxed by West Coast and had to travel back. And it was the worst week, but the best week, because all you wanted to do was get back out. The next day couldn't come quick enough. We were all embarrassed. And fortunately, we won by, I think, 100 points the next week, and everything got back on an even keel. So, yes, Essendon supporters, Melbourne supporters, Adelaide, North Melbourne, you'd all be feeling it, but it is, and these things can happen early in the piece. I don't think you'd quite panic just yet.
There's so much to talk about. Let's just go back to Gary made this point earlier. What decision would you like to take back? What prediction would you like to take back, Nick?
You can have after one mulligan. Round one mulligan that you might have got wrong, and you think, all right, I'm doing that one again.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand by all of my decisions.
That's what I like about
it. I'm gonna stand by them.
Hang on. You left Hawthorn out of the top eight.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand.
So you're gonna stand by that.
Yeah.
Why?
Again, I look across the competition, and I have no confidence in. I have wavering confidence in all of those teams that were able to smash more fancied teams. So I still fancy Adelaide as opposed to Hawthorn this year. I think Adelaide will find a way to figure it out and to get it right.
They dismembered them over there.
Yeah, they
there
did.
In
they
Adelaide.
Smashed them. I did the game. I watched it.
I listened to you. I thought you were outstanding.
Oh, thank you. They did. They flogged them. But I still have confidence in Adelaide to be able to turn that around. I thought Hawthorn's kids were brilliant. Hawthorn were the one, really, coming into the season where they were hard to get a read on, and they have the Bill Belichick factor in the coach, who you just have great faith in his ability to be able to... I didn't think they could replace Mitchell through the midfield.
And
Warple. What a great young player. Cousins, Morrison, they were all brilliant.
Scully,
kids.
Lingard,
they've got
still
they've got
come.
Some upside. Yeah. No, but I'm going to stand. I'm not going to jump off after 1 week.
No, that's okay. But that's okay with Adelaide to say, okay, I still think Adelaide's going to be a top eight side. But for you not to be that impressed by Hawthorn at the weekend on the road, to think maybe I got them wrong, they're a top eight
side.
Maybe
I did, but I'm just going to stand by my prediction.
And okay. Don Pike.
Just for one more week, Tim.
I love that. That's what we would expect from our experts.
No, Don I want Pike him to be rubbery.
Got to develop something.
We'll revisit this next Monday, please.
He has to develop something other than his game plan A.
That's what stood out to me. So we all know when you think Hawthorn and you think the way they like to play, they like to possess the football, they like to control the tempo of the game, they like to kick, mark and build the ball up, and then they attack the goals and they give themselves every opportunity to score. They didn't get the game on their terms, the Hawks. They weren't allowed to play that style of game. What they did was they played a surge style of footy, contested, get the ball on at all costs, quick, take the game on. And they just overwhelmed Adelaide in the end. The Crows, they didn't have a plan B. So Hawthorn couldn't play how they wanted. They found a way to win.
Yeah.
The Crows, we know they like to play that game where they go really aggressively at the opposition. Hawthorn's pressure was brilliant. I think we underestimate Hawthorn and have right throughout those dynasty years just how good their pressure is. And that's what won them the game, really, their ability to get it back off the opposition and not allow Adelaide to play their style.
If I'm a Crows fan, I'm really concerned, though, because I think the same thing happened to them 2 years ago when they got into the grand final against Richmond. They did not have a way that they could play outside the normal way of playing. They were impotent after that.
If you look the way they get the footy, you'd see a lot of, if you charted it, it's a lot of up at the ball, up at the ball, up at the ball, and their big men are... very similar, in as much as they don't want the booty, they don't want the footy on their head. They don't really want to stand. Not that they're scared to, but the way they play is hit at the footy, hit at the footy.
Yeah. So Jenkins, Walker, Lynch, they're all lead up forwards.
Yeah.
They're all lead up forwards. They're all very very good lead up forwards.
So if you're a coach of the genius of Alistair Clarkson, then that's manna from heaven for you. to defend, because it's similar. It's all the same. Up, 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 up. You know, there needs to be something else.
So what they were doing, Hawthorne, is they were just getting in the face of the Adelaide ball carrier. So every time they want to kick those short, punchy kicks. Well, they had to lift their kicks over the hands of the Hawthorne players, and it brought their defenders into the game. They took so many intercept marks, the Hawks. Sicily across half back was brilliant. Impey played a really strong game. They were great.
Brisbane Lions, for me, might have been the winners out of the whole round. I mean, they came in with an expectation, but they also had come in with just 5 wins last season. Mm. They're playing the reigning premier on their own deck, and they've put them, after conceding, I think it was 5-1, was it?
They were 27 points down, I think, at quarter time.
They were. There was a 70-odd point turnaround, and they walked away with it. And
what impressed you most about them?
If you're going to Brisbane, just on this one, if you're going up there to play them, you don't want to be playing them, particularly at this time, you lived up there. Conditions, and they were too tall early. They swung it round and just said, no, we can't handle the ball. It was slippery. It's like, really, like a piece of soap. So they went smaller. They got, you know, Charlie and they got McCarthy and these blokes down there, and they looked so dangerous. So huge tick, Brisbane, because they backed up what we all sort of half suspected but really desperately needed to see.
And you think they've got the firepower? Are you thinking mainly at home they're going to be
difficult? I want to see them do it away, but you talk about pre-season form stacking up, and maybe Melbourne's was deceiving, but they played a super game out at Casey in the lead-up to them. It was hard and tough, and you know, Hipworth starting to develop, and McStay can play as...
McCluggage is going to be every bit the player that Beams was too.
Well, there you go. And then it's a difference between being a young player that can... Yeah, have an influence. But then when you're a best-on-ground young player who changes the game, then that's why they're getting there.
Well, you can see that right across the competition. James Warple comes in the absence of Tom Mitchell, and sometimes that's all it is for a young player is the opportunity to actually go through the midfield. We get caught up a lot in possessions and, you know, reading the report on the Bombers game, Shield, you know, he did okay because he got 25. Yeah. I mean, give me a spell. 25 possessions. You should get 25 possessions in the midfield without trying. Mm. You should get 25 in the midfield because you're playing in the midfield. There's 350 possessions to go around. So,
agreed.
You know, don't give me stats.
Okay.
Give me stats and I'll shut up.
What did we learn from the Collingwood Geelong game on Friday night? Because we'd heard during the summer that Geelong had retooled the way that they play. They had a different forward line. We hadn't been convinced in the past about their forward line. Ablett goes down there. Rowan goes down there. Dalhouse goes down there. Is that enough, do you think, now? Do you think that they have got the firepower in the front half?
Good start. Radaglia didn't fire a shot, so they still got there. But they were true to what they said pre-season and what Chris Scott said. He said Ablett will become more of a role player and played it really beautifully. Yeah.
His front half touches, you talk about possessions, his front half touches are worth about 5 that he gets between the arcs.
Yeah. Well, I think how players like Ablett and Dangerfield embrace that role is or was what was going to be most crucial to Geelong going down that path. Because Gary Ablett's a player, you know, one of the greatest midfielders or greatest players of all time, who is used to running around in the middle, getting his 30 every week. To try to adjust and recalibrate his role to be a 20-2 type player, that was going to be the real key for Chris Scott. And judging by the way he approached, he looked quick, Gary, the other night, didn't he?
He looked
really
sharp
and zippy through the pack. So, you know, I think that having that versatility up there and that class in the front half is something that they missed last year.
And Selwood started outside the square at the start of the game. There was Selwood on a wing, Duncan on a wing. Yep. So it was a different setup in here. And the best thing that could possibly happen for Gazza was that he could come away from that game with still having had 20 plus with 2 goals and some most areas with
good
votes.
Touches.
And then he looks at that and goes, yeah, I can still have an input touches. In this role.
Matty Lloyd said last week, quite controversially, that the Collingwood midfield, I think, is the best midfield that he's seen in the time that he's been involved in footy. So the depth of their midfield. Yep. How did they weigh up? How did they weigh up against Geelong on Friday night in your mind?
Yeah, Geelong bat pretty deep as well.
How deep do they bat?
Yeah, Geelong bat really deep. And that's why you can play Selwood on the outside because you do have the depth through the middle. And we know young players, given the opportunity, that they rise to that occasion, they relish that opportunity, and they're going to find the footy. That's what they do. They know how to find the footy. So players like Kelly, gosh, to hold on to him last year was terrific. He was absolutely brilliant.
Parfitt is a very good young player, Nick.
Yeah, great clearance player. Yeah. Much better than I thought. Yeah,
he's a beneficiary of opportunity.
That's right.
No Duncan, no Selwood means someone goes in, and Parfitt was the one who I called Narkle for 10 minutes.
So coming into that game, we looked at both midfields and how deep they batted. Duncan on one side and, you know, right down to Stevenson being able to go through for the Pies. But it was the Stanley-Grundy matchup that I thought swayed it in Collingwood's favour. Didn't happen that way.
Which is a beautiful segue into what I want to talk about with Max Gawn, but we need to get a breakaway. That was a conversation starter for Kia. Great offers on offer, plus Australia's best 7-year warranty on every new Kia. We'll talk about Ruckman. Max Gawn now confronts Stanley this week on the back of one of his quieter games. We'll get into that next. Great to have your company this morning. Great to have Nick Riebold in here. Loving Rui, boys. I love the fact that he just says it how it is. Heads up for the preseason. Marty Parker, new cult hero at Moorabbin.
Yep. Matty, yep.
Well, he says Marty.
No, Matty Parker. Yeah, great start. Well, that's... But we've spoken about giving young players an opportunity all morning.
Correct.
And that's what happens. And it also begs a question. How many players are there running around in the state leagues? And Kane Lambert really was the one that started this mini revolution of teams giving a player like Kane Lambert from a state league an opportunity. He's another one. He comes across from the Waffle.
Yep.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Lit up Marvel Stadium.
Hasn't he got some speed?
Got some toe. There's one little piece
and
of play.
And he knows he's got some toe.
Yeah. bit of swag too. He's celebrated. A little finger twirl, I think, halfway through the second quarter.
Been waiting his whole life for this.
I love that jumper presentation from Nicky Wimmer before the game.
It was good,
too.
Wasn't it? Good to see Nicky back around the club.
Hey, we'll try and get to your team if we haven't. We'll try and get to them. We've been ticking off some of the bigger issues. So you spoke about Grundy and the fact that Stanley did a terrific job and was able to at least nullify him give them some supply in the end. So Max Gawn goes there this weekend, and he's had some good results against Maxie Gawn. He certainly did last year down there. And Max has got some challenges ahead of him.
Yeah.
Just from a selection point of view, you'd question, get Braden Pruce into the footy club. You mightn't play Braden Pruce every single game, but there are times when you'd be looking at it and say, this is when we will.
Yeah.
And maybe a Lysette Ryder combination is where you go with Pruce and Gawn, particularly given what Lysette and Vardy were able to do against Max in the prelim over there, and that was to go after him physically a bit and really try and wear him down. And when I say go after him, I'm not saying belt him in the head, but it's just...
They did belt him.
It's buffeting from the start of the game to the end, and the moment just before halftime, Max failed a test, and that was there was a ball to be won. It was Ryder coming hard at him. Max was coming the other way, and Max went around him and just stuck an arm out. And Port Adelaide kicked a goal, and Robbie Gray just turned and went straight at him. Mm. And that was from that moment on, I thought they're cooked, because he's your leader or one of your spiritual leaders. And he failed the test, and he's passed all of his tests in the last 2 years. So how he bounces back next week is going to be really interesting.
I thought it was a great sign from a Port Adelaide team, and we've all been part of games before where you come up against an opposition and you sit around and you circle a magnet from the opposition. Who are we going to go after? Well, they went after the top of the tree. They went after Melbourne's best player, their ruckman, their star player, and they didn't do it for just a quarter. They continued to do it. So there's a situation where the ruckman go after him, and then when the whole so he was a team target.
He was,
and Max didn't look ready for it. And I think he admitted as much after the game that he didn't handle
yesterday
it.
Yesterday he did. But
do we read anything into Melbourne's performance?
Hang on, can I just finish on this one? The AFL are accountable for this as well. There was one off the ball hit from Jonas, which wasn't acceptable. Everything else is absolutely fine. Belting into him was fine.
Is that the blind side, like the Liam Jones?
Yeah. That goes back to that.
That's got to get rubbed out.
Well,
did you think the Liam Jones one, he should have been rubbed out?
100%.
Yeah, I thought 100% too.
100%.
And they now reap what they...
It's dangerous. It's not tough.
Everyone says, oh, it's just a body blow.
But it's
they
not.
They can be more painful than any blow when you're not expecting contact like that.
To people saying that, I would suggest go for a little jog along the sidewalk and look in the opposite direction and then let someone run through your front while you're not ready for it.
Paul Ruse on the night that happened said they've made a rod for their back, and he said there'll be opposition players who'll go, okay, I'll pay the $1,500 for the advantage of sitting someone on their backside and maybe getting inside their head. And we saw it 2 days later. So not good enough.
On Melbourne, we saw them in the prelim final last year. They go over there on a bouncy, fast, warm day in Perth, and they got spanked by the West Coast Eagles. Yep. Okay, similar conditions at the MCG on Saturday. Are we starting to read something into the fact that Melbourne might be a really good inside, hard-type team, but they don't have the spread and the speed on the outside to go with the best at the pointy end of the season?
That's been the question. It's absolutely legitimate. The preparation of this side is the one you'd look at now. And I know Melbourne and Goody even said, no, we're not worried about that. But Viney off one JLT, not even a JLT, Viney off a VFL practice match, Jones off a VFL practice match, they look clearly underdone.
Yeah,
but I've never seen two of them play like that.
Okay, but they're tough inside players, yeah. Okay? They still don't have what they lacked at the weekend against a young, fast, fit Port Adelaide side.
That's been the criticism. Yeah, absolutely. And they'll get another great test this week against the Cats, a midfield that are up and about, they were explosive. They look dynamic. They've got... You know, Selwood out to a wing, Ablett. So those guys that wouldn't, you know, traditionally you would say were great two-way runners. So I think they've got a really good balanced midfield. And Max Gawn gets a great opportunity next week to bounce straight back against a player that is as well set up as any in the competition to test him. Reece Stanley, he did a great job against Brody Grundy. He gets Max this week. He's one of the most gifted athletes I've come across in footy.
Hold on to that thought. So that is great. We'll see straight away. And from a Melbourne point of view, not much support for Maxie either when all that was happening. I reckon that would be brought up as well.
That's a learning.
News headlines with Meredith. Thanks, Meredith, here for Melbourne Airport Parking. We are warmer welcomes, proper goodbyes now. Terminal parking is $12. And Goddings are your Kubota Excavator 5-star service dealer.
Sam Edmund, the Carbone Lawyers. With over 100 years of combined experience, don't settle for less than Carbone Lawyers.
We are going to get to Port Adelaide, don't you worry about that. We've spoken glowingly about them already, but we're going to have a good look at them in a moment, Timmy.
Good morning to you all. Look, a week after the Taylor Harris Instagram controversy, we have another issue on the 7AFL Instagram account. This time a simple question about whether Liam Ryan should get weeks for his hit on Darcy Gardner provoked racist responses. Now, I know, as we discussed earlier, giving oxygen to this sort of rubbish might not be the done thing, but neither is turning a blind eye, I would argue, and we've got to keep calling it out, so we'll hear a lot more about that
horrendous
today, I would think.
I don't know. Well, I just hope they can track him down. And if they do, put his photo on the front, or her photo on the front page of the paper. Pigs.
North Melbourne, they've allowed Fremantle to kick their highest score since round 12, 2016. The Dockers kicking 21 goals in an 82-point mauling. Cam McCarthy kicked 5. Nat Fyfe, 20 touches, 7 clearances just a half time. He did sit out a bit of footy in the second half just to rest up that elbow injury that he's managing. Making matters worse, though, Ed Vickers-Willis looks like he's become the latest ACL victim following Alex Rance and Tom Dodai. And then there's Ben Cunnington, who was speaking a little bit before about the incident earlier in the week with the Blues, of course, and Liam Jones. Well, Ben Cunnington's going to come under the microscope for a last quarter punch to the midriff of Nathan Wilson. We'll hear a bit more about that. Before we do, though, here's Brad Scott.
Does that mean that you're just a terrible football team? Well, I don't believe that. And, you know, but I think on the evidence provided today, most people will think that. And that's fair enough, but it's what we do from here that matters. And, you know, I've got a lot of time for this playing group, and, you know, I know they'll respond, but talk's cheap. We've got to do it.
Ben Rutten, he might be wondering what he's got himself into at Essendon. The Bombers conceding 101, 100 in the JLT, then 112. They kick 16-16 GWS. It could have been worse. They were missing Mumford, Ward, Kelly, Haynes, Corr, Langdon, Patton. The Dons almost fully fit. They were missing Hooker and Joe Danaher, but they played pretty well with that ladder for large portions of last season, of course. Tim Taranto stepping up big time. 30 touches, 10 tackles, 2 goals. One of them an early contender for goal of the round. John Worsfold, he was left to start picking up the pieces afterwards.
You don't expect to step out like that in round one and be so far off the mark against the opposition. So we were very disappointed by that.
So we have a tendency... Full stop. We have a tendency to be glass half empty in this caper, and I know you're talking about Port Adelaide earlier. That win over Melbourne was a seismic one, none more so than the coach Kenny Hinckley. Now, we know he's not scared to make big statements. How about this from the Port Adelaide coach after that win?
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. This is the best win I've been involved with Port Adelaide, including finals.
And he went on to say, just because of the nature of the kids that they've got in that side and that everyone written them off and whatnot. So Cricket Australia cruising to a one-day win over Pakistan in Sharjah. Aaron Finch, 153 not out for his highest one-day international score ever. They chased down the target of 285 with 3 overs to spare and the loss of just 2 wickets. Just quickly, here's Aaron Finch afterwards.
Oh, I think things are going quite well at the moment, but you're never satisfied. You're always looking to improve, and I think there'll be some different combinations at some point throughout the series, and that's just a great opportunity for us to keep learning and keep developing and keep improving with a big few months coming up.
Aussie Scotty Hendy won the Malaysian Open, edging out Spain's Nacho Elvira in a playoff after tropical thunderstorms halted play for a couple of hours. And I'll leave you with this, guys, because occasionally you get a reminder of the old saying, it ain't over till it's over. Now, this one comes from a boxing bout that would be at home in a Rocky remake. Sam Maxwell, he's the man. He'd been dropped twice. He was gone for all money, round 10 of 10, when his French rival Sabri Sidiri goading him, teasing him, seeing out time. But with 15 seconds left, Sidiri exposed his chin just one too many times.
Oh, great shots! Left hand, right hand from Maxwell. Well, where did that come from? I can hardly believe what I've seen. An astonishing turnaround.
Amazing. He just kept sticking the chin gas into his face. Good. Finally got it knocked off.
Comeuppance.
He did indeed.
Nicely done. Sammy Edmund here for Carbone Lawyers. Don't settle for less. Port Adelaide, Ken Hinckley, we were lucky. We had a brekkie with him a month ago, and he raved about his youngsters. And then he said, we're going to be braver. We're going to take the game on. We're not going to go into our shell. And there was a stage there when Melbourne were dominating where that would have been challenged, and they stuck to it. And, gee, there's some excitement in that group.
It's amazing when you make the conscious decision and you declare that publicly in terms of the way that they spoke about they were going to play. They know that they became way too conservative at times last year. And you get those players in an attacking frame of mind, and positivity just exudes from the players. Young guys coming in that they've, like, you know, the greatest recruiting class for Port Adelaide in the history of their club, they were calling it. And their young players came in. Again, opportunity is sometimes all these young players need to contribute really strongly. And they're the best wins. When you come away, you travel as a group with young players. Mm. So you automatically feel like it's us against the world, particularly coming across to Melbourne or for Melbourne clubs going to Perth or to Adelaide, and against a highly fancied opponent, the Demons. They were brilliant, Port Adelaide.
Nick Revolt's with us. Time for Hardball Gets, Loose Ball Gets. This is where we, without notice, ask each other a question that's supposed to be hard and then a bit of a lighter one. Who wants to start this morning, boys? I will. I'll start with you, Tim.
Oh, you go. You go then.
After your side's pitiful performance, yes. Why is there no room for Darcy Parrish in that side? What has he done wrong?
I have no idea.
That's not the answer we're after when we do this.
My answer to that question is I am as surprised as everybody else that Darcy Parrish can't be part of the SN22.
Would other clubs be in this early stage now starting to ring his manager?
Well, I would. Yeah, this kid can play. Like he can
five in the VFL on the weekend.
He can really play. He can really play. And I think that becomes a philosophical question that they need to answer there at selection. And that is, you're like Bagley as a forward or Parrish as that forward. You know, which direction do you want to go in as a team? Nice. I would be playing Parrish every day of the week.
Question, boy. Yep.
Gary, I've got one for you. Right. How would Stephen May be feeling walking into the team review this morning, given he didn't play, suspended, and Westhoff bobs up and kicks five?
Well, if he doesn't slink in and go and sit in the back corner and just shut up and listen, I'd be very, very surprised. If he bowled in and was all joking around and laughing and having a bit of a, you know, because he's an upbeat sort of bloke, but he should be feeling very guilty given what happened on the weekend.
Nick, for you, Richo was in here sitting in that seat last week, the coach, Alan Richardson, St Kilda. He said that the Saints have to rebuild Dan Hanbury, their prize recruit. Should they have recruited him?
I think it's too early to tell. I think if they can rebuild him, well, they've got him for 4 years. So they've got him for 4 years, not for 4 weeks. So if they can rebuild him, well, then and he can get. I don't think we can make the assessment now. Mm. I think it's irresponsible to make that assessment now.
So you're saying he may be Lee Majors?
Who's that?
The $6 million man that they rebuilt.
I don't know who Lee Majors is. You're going to use reference, at least make them sort of circa 2000.
Were you surprised by that admission, though, that we have to rebuild this guy?
I actually quite liked it, to be honest. I like the honesty.
Yeah.
Not the fact that we're not going to have Dan for a while, but he's had a big impact in terms of leadership that he's brought down there to a pretty young group, and we need him to get back. Otherwise, it is a bit of a disaster, really.
Hard ball for you.
I've got one for you.
Okay, Tim. Well, you take over. You do what you want to do.
No, that's all right. I'm on a roll. If Essendon lose to St Kilda this week, does John Worsfold become the most under pressure coach in the comp?
Yes, if that happened right now, yes, it would. He would be the most pressured coach in the competition without a doubt if they are to lose to the Saints this weekend. And I would think that everybody at the football club would know that.
Nick Riewoldt.
Sneaky chances.
Hardball question for you.
Yes, Gary.
Jesse Hogan is available to play this weekend for Fremantle. Do you play him?
I don't think so. I think you have come off a great win. I think your incumbents, the players that played, have earned the right to continue to play. And I'm not an expert on mental health or anxiety, but I'm not sure if a week is that long enough? I don't know. Only the experts can answer that question. But I think the incumbents have earned the right to play again next week.
I'm with you. I'd play him in the waffle.
Yeah, nice.
Gary, the average scoring at the weekend was down on last year. That's in the first round. That's despite the 6-6-6. Will we see more modifications at the end of this season if we don't get an average score per round up?
No, we won't. We're going to give this
a chance.
That's
despite Steve Hockin saying that he'll keep pulling levers.
Give this a chance to bed itself down and give it a chance to work. I think by the time we get to the end of the year, it will have worked. Nick, as an analyst, it's a loose ball get, so a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Did you watch all 9 games? And if you didn't, why didn't you?
No, I didn't watch all.
No, I can't believe that.
I didn't watch all 9.
Well, how are you supposed to talk about it if you haven't watched them all?
Well, I didn't watch all 9 start to finish, but I've done a bit of research on the ones that I didn't get to watch. I was at 4 games live, which is a pretty good effort over a week.
But there's 9.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, it's,
you're a highly paid analyst.
I'm not even sure if it's possible to get to all 9 live games.
Terry Wallace does. Terry Wallace watches them all. Start
live
to finish.
At the stadium.
You don't have to watch them live.
Well, that's what I value, watching, being at the ground.
So
where
if you
can
can't be
it.
There, you're not going to take any notice of the games.
No, that's not what I said.
On TV.
I'm pretty sure that's what you just said.
I think you can do it. You can do a good job on TV. You can do a better job at the ground.
Agree. A follow-on loose ball for you, Gary, based on what you've just asked, Nick. Yeah. Were you at the Stoke House yesterday at lunchtime when there were AFL games on?
Yes, I was.
So you didn't watch the games yesterday?
Ever heard of a phone?
Did you watch the game yesterday?
Yes, I did.
So you sat there at lunch at the Stoke House watching a game
on
the phone?
You did not.
If you ask Nilo, my mate who I was with, he would say,
look at the way you're squinting now at the phone.
You can't even see your phone.
Your eyes look like peas.
My phone was there and I was watching it. You too. You asked the question.
So which game were you watching?
I was watching Gold Coast take on St Kilda.
What did you think of Peter Wright's decision in the last quarter?
I would have kicked the goal. Enough?
Yes, you're lucky.
Righto. Who haven't we got to? Let's go through some of these teams that we haven't touched on. Western Bulldogs. Aaron Norton, David, I think it was Kingy. Have we got the audio of Kingy? Kingy said we have. Let's have a listen to David King on Aaron Norton. And no, we haven't. And the decision to play him forward. He said, and I'll paraphrase, don't put your thumb up. We have. We have. All right, let's listen.
He may serve a purpose up forward that may work for them in the short term while they're waiting for a Boyd to come back or, looking for some other targets at the end of the season or using a second ruck down there. But it can't come at the cost of one of your elite picks in the draft. Give this kid a chance.
So he's saying that he was picked as a defender, he should play as a defender, and don't throw him forward and ruin him in the process. He looked like Nick Riewoldt on the weekend.
He looked good, didn't he? What I liked was the fact that Dale Morris went down. The temptation to play him down back, particularly coming up against Lance Franklin, must have been huge for Luke Beveridge. But just having the confidence and conviction to be able to say, no, we need this guy to play forward. We need him to be able to kick goals for us because that's the question mark on the Dogs. We know they've got great midfield depth. We know they've got great players through there, but can they kick a score? He was the man.
He was.
Bevo said this on our program last week, didn't he? We asked him exactly the same question about Morris going down. He said, no, Norton will stay as a forward.
There's a bloke called Tom Liberatore that came back into that side, had 28 touches, 8 clearances, 8 inside 50s, and I think it was our own man, the Field Marshal, who covered this game. He said he brought some swagger back to a side that desperately needed it, and he was chirping away. He was in the face of the opposition. I really loved that. Have we got concerns for Sydney before we head to a break?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
absolutely.
Do. Why?
They don't move the ball. They just can't move the ball, Sydney. And they've got one forward and Lance Franklin, who hasn't done a pre-season, so they've got no danger in their front half as well, and they've got an ageing defence. So there's major concerns about them, despite the fact that they've got some good developing younger players.
The modern game is a turnover transition game. The majority of score comes from turnovers, and Sydney defend in the back half. So every time they win it, not every time, but the large majority of the times they win it, they got to take it the full length of the ground. I'm just not sure that they're as well set up for that as and possibly
I,
could be.
I'm watching that, and I'm watching Heath Grundy playing the ruck. Mm. I'm going, not sure about that.
Mm. Can I just ask one quick question? This is a loose one for Nick. Okay,
finish hard ball, get loose ball, get.
The Saints have Eric Banner, the Incredible Hulk. The Dogs have got Chris Hemsworth, Thor. Who wins the battle between Thor and the Incredible Hulk?
Ooh. Eric's a pretty scary dude. Eric's got real range. I think the Hulk takes him down.
I'm taking the $6 million man.
No,
I don't know his name.
What did you say his name was?
Lee Major.
I thought that was a golf player.
Hold your thought. We'll be back with Nick Revolt to wrap up after this. SEN Breakfast from Melbourne Airport Parking for warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes now. Terminal parking, $12. You said you had some Steve Austin.
I have. Have a listen to this. This is for Nick Revolt. That's the noise the $6 million man used to make.
You've never heard
Wait, who's Steve Austin?
He's the $6 million
man. I thought that was Lee Major.
He played the role of Steve Austin.
I'm going home after this. I'm going to...
How old's your oldest boy?
Four.
He will love the $6 million.
And the $6 million woman.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Oh, yes, exactly right.
And by the way, Godding's also great supporters of our Kubota Excavator five-star service dealer. Ross changed? Or have they just got some players now that can play the way that the modern game demands?
Well, listening to Fifey after the game, it sounds like Ross has changed, didn't he? You know, we'd like to congratulate Ross for having the courage to move with the modern game.
That was pretty poignant, wasn't it?
He didn't say that, did he?
He did.
He did, Fifey. He did
he
say
that.
He must
be feeling confident
He's
about his position.
He's a confident, confident guy. What do you think about the elbow sleeve, Gary? You'd like that sort of thing.
Love it.
Yeah.
In fact, whoever sponsored by next week. I love it.
Okay. On that point, how many players do you think will have one of those by the end of the season?
Plenty of kids will.
Yeah, it caught on over in the NBA.
Allen Iverson was the man.
He's actually had elbow surgery.
Yeah, but there'll be a lot of players wearing it because they just it looks cool. It does look cool.
The under 12 start in about 4 weeks. Some of you watch all those guys running around. Giants imposing.
Oh, very. Yeah, great start. Great start. And we've had questions at prelim, semi. Were they starting to taper off? Had they reached the point? And, you know, it's 1 week, so it's a small sample size. Again, and the Bombers were poor, but the kids, Taranto, Hopper through the midfield, an opportunity in the absence of Ward and Kelly. They were brilliant, their young players.
The kid Taylor down back looked all right too, didn't he?
They did, yeah. No, they were tough too, the Giants. They played a really tough style. There's an edge
to the way they played.
They've got players that play on the edge too. Cameron plays on the edge
at
times.
What about Jeremy Cameron? How good did he look?
He looked good. He looked good coming at the ball.
Yes.
He looks good when we know he's good going back towards goal, but when he comes up at the ball, he gets the defenders in two minds and they're not quite sure what he's going to do.
Every year Fremantle has won their first game under Ross Lyon, they've made the finals.
Jamie Summers was the $6 million woman, Gary. How could you forget that?
Jamie Summers. What did she have? Like Lee Majors had the bionic leg and the eye, was it?
Everything.
I'm going to get into dangerous territory. Also, I want to mention before you go, I thought Jack Watts' performance was fantastic and I wonder whether both of you will concede what I've been telling you for a long time. Halfback is the easiest position in football to play, and that's not a criticism.
No, but you're not going to get any argument from either of us.
But Jack Watts has gone back there. He looked comfortable. He looked controlled. He played competitive footy. It was a great result.
Yeah, is Jack Watts all of a sudden a great player, or is he gone half back?
No, he played in the manner.
Yeah, I know. Well, I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
Half back is an easy spot.
I rest my case.
In fact, I think it was that conversation with Ken Hinckley that turned him around on Jack Watts going to half back suggested it.
Great interview post game.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
It was.
And to see that emotion. And Jack Watts has had a lot of critics and a lot of his own doing, you know, has brought that on himself. But I was really happy for him to see him celebrate that way.
It's a start for him anyway. So let's hope he goes that way. Glenn Manton started the elbow sleeve wisp.
Oh, he did.
He did.
Glenn Manton off the text message.
That's right. He put his arm through a glass door.
Great to have you in, Rui.
Enjoyed it.
I look forward to hearing you on SEN throughout the week as well. He'll be back next Monday. 8 o'clock news is upon us. Wispy Tom Harley up after the news.